Please be seated. The day started out like any other. It was the Sabbath, and we were gathered to listen to and learn from the scribes and the rabbis. They were doing their usual teaching and interpreting of the Torah. Sometimes it can be a bit boring and predictable, sure. But we were all doing what we did each time we gathered. We prayed, we read scripture, we heard teachings. Then all of a sudden, everything changed. With one person beginning to speak and teach, all that I previously knew and had experienced throughout my life in the synagogue changed. His teaching and his authority, even though he had no training, was so authoritative. What's more, after he was teaching, an unholy, unclean man, possessed by an evil spirit, tried to disrupt him and to claim he was the Holy One of God. The new teacher did not have to perform any secret rituals or cast any spells. He only had to tell the spirit to come out, and it did. This man, this new teacher, is powerful and amazing. I have to tell someone about the time I went to the synagogue, and all that I knew, all that was normal, was transformed. You can almost see it, can't you? I don't know about you, but this story is one for me from the Gospels that makes me feel as if I was there. It's just so vivid in imagery. Everything was off to a routine start. Things seemed to be calm and progressing as normal, when all of a sudden the boundaries of what had been typical, what had been known and understood to be the societal and cultural customs, were broken. Instead of the scribes and rabbis who taught each and every week in the synagogue, it was Christ himself who began to teach, and even to teach with authority. It was Christ himself who, when a man possessed by an unclean spirit identifies him as the Holy One of God, he rebukes that unclean spirit, silences it, and casts it out. Jesus' authoritative teaching and powerful exorcism of this possessed man demonstrate that now that Jesus has begun his ministry on earth, everything cannot be as it always was. Those routines, that sense of normal and typical that each person gathered in the synagogue that day knew so well throughout their whole lives, was disrupted. This sense that those things that we create to be our customs for how people are treated or how we live or the choices we make are flipped on their heads by this as well. We know this to be true, and we have even experienced it for ourselves. We gather to worship and strive to live faithful lives because Christ was revealed to us and everything changed. Perhaps we were raised in the Christian faith from the time we were little, or perhaps we came to it later in life, but we have experienced God's love shown for us in some way that caused us to change our expectations for life. I can remember being a freshman in high school, going about life as normal for me, which basically meant that I went to school, I hung out with my friends, I played every sport that I could. I went to church on Sunday mornings with my families. And I'm not really sure, I suppose I was just old enough, and I started going to youth group. I guess my friends were there, and I sort of don't remember that the reason I decided to go, because it wasn't really a part of my life. But I went. And one day, some of the older youth invited me to a youth event in this diocese called Happening. They were going to be on the staff, and they thought I should attend. You should know that when I was that age and for a long time, and not so much anymore, but I wouldn't really do a new thing unless I knew somebody was coming with me or if I knew what was going to be going on. Preferably both, but either would work. The nature of this event is that it's secret, so if you've never gone through it, you don't know what's going to happen. It's all wonderful and loving surprises, but you don't know. And I didn't really know these folks that were going to be there. But for some reason, one I would later to attribute to the grace of God, I went. I went, and I was skittish at first, but eventually gave in to the love of God every high school student showed me that weekend. Whether it was welcoming me wholeheartedly and warmly into their friend group, or telling me they were praying for me, or helping me to navigate this new social situation. The list only goes on. I left that weekend fully convinced that God loved me unconditionally. Even though I'd been going to church for many years, that was never something I knew to the core of my being quite like that. Before this moment, church was just something I did on Sunday mornings. That was my sense of routine, my sense of normal. And I left that weekend knowing it would be a part of my life each day from then on. Life was just fine before. I had friends. I loved to play sports and be active. My family was loving and supportive. School was going great. Just like the person observing these events in the Gospel of Mark for today, who I depicted earlier, everything was moving along just as I was used to, just as I was comfortable with. Then, the presence and love of God revealed in those students, many of whom are my best friends to this day, broke into my life, and everything was upended. I began to consider what it meant to live differently now. What does it mean to share the love of God as it had been shared with me? Can I even do that? And what might that look like? We see something of this major and significant shift in the life of those who witnessed the events described in our story for today. We read that all were amazed. And after this, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the region. The story demonstrates that Christ coming to this world and his actions within it changed the world forever. Things could no longer be as they were. The whole world and each person in it will be transformed and renewed by Christ coming to this world. This story of Jesus breaking the expectations and customs of the day and healing the man possessed by an unclean spirit is the event that the gospel writer of Mark chooses to place at the very beginning of his gospel. We're only 21 verses in at this point. We heard from John the Baptist about some guy who was to come who would be greater than him. Jesus has been baptized. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert being tempted by Satan. Last week we heard the story of Jesus calling his first disciples. And now we arrive at this story. This is the first time that we see Jesus do some real work that shows us who he is as the Son of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit. That it is the first miracle that Mark tells us about is significant. It shows us something of a theme that will hold true throughout the gospel. And it tells us something of who Jesus is that Mark wants us to know. Jesus will engage in this type of ministry three more times in this short book. It shows us that in Christ we are set free from those things that bind us, the sin that seems to always be a part of our lives, the despair we see in the world around us. In Christ we come to know that those things are being renewed and transformed, and God's reign can and will and does overcome them. In Christ's opposition to and rebuke of the unclean spirit, we know that God opposes those forces that keep God's children from the abundance that we are promised as inheritors of the kingdom of God. Christ's actions in this story and throughout his ministry reveal to those who saw him so many centuries ago and to us today his very identity as one who is willing and able to be present in all circumstances of life. The season of Epiphany, the one that we are in the midst of right now in the life of the church year, is set aside to recognize ways in which Christ is made visible in the world. The light of Christ comes, and the world comes to know that something must now be different because of that new life and light. Epiphany isn't only about that one moment a long time ago, but it's also about a recognition of these moments of awareness in our lives today. As one writer puts it, where are we still amazed by Jesus' authority, by his teaching and deeds potential to upend our assumption about what's possible? Where can we see souls set free from destructive tendencies and powers that we thought were beyond anyone's control? I would add, where can we strive to see God present in places that we do not expect? Where can God go, and where does God go that we think is impossible or won't happen? The answer revealed in this story is that God is present in all things. God is present in our grief. God is present in our successes. God is present in our joys. God is present in our failures. God has broken through the forces of this world that work to oppose God. God has and will renew those things that we think can otherwise not be renewed. God is in all things and with us no matter what. This story and Christ's willingness to go into the synagogue that day and cast away the unclean spirit tells us this. These actions reveal God's identity as one who is eternally present and unconditionally loving in all places and people. God has moved in our lives, and I believe we are called as followers of Christ to work to reveal ways in which Christ has revealed himself to us. Our lives can demonstrate the transforming presence and love of God by how we act, how we love, how we forgive, and ultimately how we follow Christ's example in the world. We can show each other and our community in the world how Christ has transformed our sense of normal and everyday into a grace-filled and abundantly loving life that seeks to draw the whole world to God. Things don't have to be as they are because that's how they've always been. God in Christ coming into this world shows us things that were cast down can be raised up. Things which have grown old can be made new. Just as Christ's actions and ministry on earth revealed his identity as the Son of God, so too may our words and our actions demonstrate to the world our identity as beloved children of God, as we work to show the world how God moves in our lives each day.